it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
John, your thoughts on what Michigan did and what Michigan State did over the weekend as we gear up for what's a huge week for both of them?
Well, I mean, all the conversation surrounds the quarterback play. And if you're going to get good quarterback play, you're going to be in every game. Now, you may not win the way you want. The style points might not be there. They certainly were for Michigan this weekend, but not a lot of style points for Michigan State. But they did what they had to do. They're 3-0 in the non-conference. And what did we say? If they're going to get to a bowl game, if they're going to have a chance to get to 7 or 8 wins, they're going to have to go undefeated in the non-conference. And the Boston College game, all right, it's not a program victory, but it would have been almost unrecoverable if they had lost that game.
It was a necessary win. It wasn't a program win, but it was one they had to have. I know Spartan fans are restless today. Like, their defense is not good. Only UCLA has given up more points in the Big Ten. They've got issues, okay? I'm not telling them to, like, ignore it because they're 3-0. And I don't know how many more wins are on this schedule if the defense plays that way. But with Aiden Chiles, you do have the ability to steal a couple games. And at 3-0, you're trying to show progress from a year ago, and it's still right in front of them. For Michigan, a lot is going to be made about Bryce Underwood. I don't really care how he looked against Central Michigan. I care about why he looked that way. It's because you're opening the offense. You don't really learn a lot about blowing out a team like the Chippewas. I know it's my school. We're just not very good. We got a first-year head coach, and we can't match up. You don't get those kind of windows. You're not going to have that much running room when you play other teams. But I liked that they opened things up. If I was looking at it from a Michigan fan standpoint, I wouldn't care how Bryce looked. I'd care that they are finally saying he's got the green light. We're going to use him in the run game. We're going to let him throw the ball down the field, early downs. We're not going to babysit him anymore. Like, John, the fact that he threw more passes against CMU in a game he didn't finish than he did in Norman when they were trailing the whole time, that can't happen. And the lesson is learned. I think if you're a Wolverine fan, you want to see, we'll live and die, we'll learn with Bryce. We'll let him test his limits. We'll get burned a little bit. But the alternative is handcuff him and win 8 games and wonder what if. And I think that's what you're excited about is if it's true, what Biff told you, there's no limits. We're going to take the handcuffs off the guy. That's what you're excited about.
It is. And I mean, with the guy that has the talents he has, you're going to have, I mean, he's going to be an individual that will use those talents for good. And he'll also use them, and some of the things that he's going to do are not going to be good. There's risks involved. He threw a bad interception against Central Michigan. But you can't put him in a bubble and not make those mistakes. You're going to stunt the growth. You've got to let him go out there and make some mistakes, make some plays. And I think by the end of the day, and we saw it against Central, we'll see it against Nebraska, USC, all these other games. I think at the end of the day, you're going to get many more positives than you will negatives. And as the season goes on and he learns from some of those mistakes, he'll make new ones.
Well, right. I think there's the fear.
You don't want to keep making the same ones. And that's what we've heard from Sharone. So we heard from Chip. We've heard from so many people that he is a student of the game. He's going to get better, but you got to let him go out there and expose him to the mistakes that are there to be made.
It's hands-on learning. Like, I think the fear that you have is what Florida went through last weekend down in Death Valley when they face LSU. Lagway is in his second year, but it was his first road start in the SEC. And they let him sling it. And he threw 5 picks, including a pick 6. He lost them that football game. But the alternative is you don't ever push the ball down the field. You're playing just to hang in, and you're going to wonder what if. Because you're probably not winning the game if you don't let your quarterback go. Like, Michigan wasn't going to beat Oklahoma either way. But you're left wondering what if. What if they gave Bryce a couple chances and he simply made a play and put the team on his back? And when he realized, oh, I can't get away with it, they'd be better suited for Nebraska this week and better suited for USC and Ohio State and more of the big games later in the season for Michigan.
And if you're going to make some of those quarterback runs, some of them are going to be, you know, read options. Some of them are just straight quarterback runs. But he's got to see it all at game speed. And you've got to be able to read whether it's the outside linebacker, edge defender, defensive end, defensive tackle, whoever it is that you're reading, you've got to be able to see it so you know, okay, I'm handing off this time, or I'm not, I'm keeping it, and this is what I'm doing after. All of those things, I wish we had seen it sooner, but I'm glad we're seeing it now going into Big Ten season versus waiting until week 9 or 10 or unveiling it against Ohio State.
Are we missing the mark on MSU? Because the early returns, people are livid with their 3-0 football team. First text, I'd rather have Harlan Barnett coaching this team.
Jeez.
Another one says, he could just get on with it and go to UCLA any day now. Texter says, MSU is currently an embarrassment. Get Smith out of here. Bring in a coach who can actually coach football. And one more says, I've watched every MSU game for decades. I'm done until Smith's gone. He's the worst coach I've ever seen in green and white. These are real ticket texts from people? I don't think things are perfect in East Lansing, but...
I've been blown away by this morning. Like the vitriol towards him. I get that people aren't happy. Man, he's how many games? 15 games into his coaching? And
yeah.
I mean, the defense, yeah, it's a problem, but you've got to give somebody time. I think there's a disconnect.
You know what it is?
I don't think people think he wants to really be here, that he took the job for the money to get out of the Pac-12.
So Oregon State was going to get thrown, you know, into turmoil, into chaos, not having a conference.
I mean, look what's happened to that program. They're 35.5-point underdog against Oregon, their in-state rival.
Yeah. He got out before the guillotine fell.
Yeah.
But
an escape hatch, and that he'll do it again.
Go home to Pasadena and UCLA. It's not a better job. The guys take jobs for all kinds of reasons. I think some of the issue here, too, is the Indiana effect. When Cignetti comes in and flips Indiana football, a basketball school, they come in and they win enough games to go to the college football playoff overnight. It's a lot harder for Wisconsin to look at Luke Fickell and go, well, we just got to be more patient. And if you're an MSU fan, you're going, well, year two, if I don't see it now, are we ever going to see it? I would just caution people, while I'm not going to give him the rubber stamp right now, I see the issues. Yep. It's week 4. You know what I mean? Like, let's revisit this when they're 3-5 and they're getting blown out at the end of the season.
Yeah, if you want to make that change, all right, now all of a sudden, in a very tumultuous time in college football, and in college sports, when it's NIL, it's transfer portal, it's all of these things. And I know you're probably thinking, well, we'll just get another coach in here that'll, you know, be able to generate more money and more recruits. Well, I think Cignetti hit it at the perfect time because it was early. He brought a lot of players with him.
From James Madison.
Yeah. And now we'll see. I mean, is Cignetti for real? We'll find out maybe this weekend.
That one big test this weekend, yeah.
When they play Illinois, because we don't know against, you know, Indiana State. Like, the Sycamores, they're not.
Yeah, they put up 70 against
So, you got to be careful that you're not always hitting the reset button and other programs are building while you're just continuing to, well, okay, it's not working out, so we're going to hit the reset button. If that doesn't work out in the next 15 games, a year and three games, you're going to hit the reset button again?
And again, the season, there are moments for them to go out and show growth. The Michigan-Michigan State game is not a gimme.
No.
You know, I'm just putting it out there. That game's a game MSU can win. How differently do we view Jonathan Smith if in year two you can spin the narrative, he gets the rivalry, he's 1-1 against Michigan, he's in the fight, he's our guy. And look, if it goes ugly, and it was ugly at the end of last year, John, it's super simple. The AD didn't hire him. The AD might want to go get his own guy.
Okay, that's the easy out.
It may end up that way, but I'm shocked that that's where we're at on September 16th from people.
With a 3-0 team.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Okay, you're 3-0, and let's just take a look at the ones that you believe that they should win. UCLA, I think they should beat Minnesota and Maryland. What's that get you? Get you a bowl game.
Yeah.
All right, now you're playing.
Is that enough for people?
At Iowa, I don't know that Iowa is a team that threatens anybody's defense.
No.
And so maybe you pull one out there,
right,
and then you're looking
capitalize.
At USC, Nebraska, Indiana, Michigan, and Penn State. And okay, Penn State may be on a different level.
Yeah.
But all those other teams, I think you're at least in the game.
Steal one.
And if you have a quarterback like Aiden Chiles, if he protects the football and he is a guy that he doesn't need to be your leading rusher, he happened to be against Youngstown State, but if he's a guy that can pick up first downs, extend drives, and frustrate a defense, you're in those games.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
248-539-9797. Chance to speak about your college team, Michigan, Michigan State. And as this week goes on, I think we're going to put a greater emphasis on them, right? The Lions don't play until Monday, and Michigan has a test against Nebraska on the road, see what they learned from Norman. And for MSU, look, your defense hasn't been good enough. USC can sling it. They're going to be like 17-point underdogs. We're going to find out a lot about MSU when they travel out west. You have to stay up late to watch it. I got to tell you, it's basically unanimous on the ticket text. Jonathan Smith is a zero. I graduated in 2020, and our program has largely been an embarrassment for 10 years. College coaches don't get 5 years anymore. I mean, he doesn't even get like a year and a half for some people.
Or a 3-0 start.
The program is dull. There's no juice. I'm 28. You couldn't pay me to go to East Lansing for the day to tailgate and to go to an MSU game. Michigan State looks like they've taken a step back from last year. The run game's worse. The defense is worse. We don't win another game this season.
Wow.
First of all, they're going to host UCLA, who fired their coach. They got to come cross country and play a noon kick Eastern time. So, 9 a.m. Yeah. their local time.
Right.
So, that to me is a gimme on the schedule.
Four games?
I'm not telling them to celebrate, but like the hyperbole of this. You would think they're 0-3. The way the responses have come in. And we did get one guy who says, I feel like you're cherry picking texts. I don't see MSU Twitter this negative. I'm telling you guys, I can't find a positive text for the 3-0 Spartans. And look, if you can't find 8 or 9 wins, maybe that's the source of the doom, but they should make a bowl and Child steals 1 or 2. You have your program wins. And I mean, it sure beats the alternative, which is starting over.
It does. And I mean, until you play the games, you have no idea. And I understand, you know, you play against Youngstown State and you're thinking it should have been a 50-4, 50-3 win. I don't know how you're going to get 4-2 safeties. But like just because you didn't blow them out is why you're upset.
The game was never in jeopardy, though.
No, it wasn't.
You know, and I think some Spartan fans are doing this. First off, I think in general they don't like Jonathan Smith. I just feel that that's the vibe I get.
He's an outsider. He doesn't connect.
Yeah. And it's boring. But you can't connect the dots of, okay, you played a double OT game with Boston College, and then they go lose to Stanford.
Yeah, so now they're factoring in saying that's not a good win.
Right, and you got to realize these are college kids, especially still early in the year with the portal and the gelling. Think about the psychological damage that Boston College loss was for Boston College.
Yeah.
And then they had to travel out west. You just made the point about UCLA come in here. These things matter, and I also think State's learning to win and grow. It was a very natural letdown. Now, do they have defensive problems? Yeah. And then USC going to hang 40-plus?
Probably.
But this is a game you're not expected to win.
What are these texts going to look like after they actually lose a game?
Right.
They're going to tell them just leave them out in L.A.
It's like we're the ones being positive about State around here. Think about that. Yeah.
I mean, it's
bizarre, man. I don't know, like, the expectation before the year, I mean, we talked about it. What did we think? Like,
well, I was
7-8 wins?
I said, I think it was at 6.
Okay.
And I thought they were going to be, and I don't think it's a big, giant leap to go from 6-8. Because some of those games, if Aiden Childs plays the way that he has or can, if you have a quarterback like that, you can win games.
You know, it's funny, like a lot of these texts sound like the guy I host a podcast with, but even he said, what, 8 wins and beat somebody of note.
Yeah.
Is that not on the table right now? Did I miss the memo? I mean, can they not beat Michigan this year? Can they not beat anybody of note this season?
They can. And
they've already lost so many games, they can't get to the 8-win threshold. Like, I'm a little confused at the tone of Spartan fans right now.
Well, I mean, at least they're starting out Big Ten play 3-0. Like, this would be a completely different conversation if they were 2-1, 1-2.
Well, they had to be because the schedule set up for them with two gimmies, Western and Youngstown State, and Boston College was, hey, you got to show you're different than last year. This was the script, start 3-0, and they're 3-0.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.